Welcome to the Rider Up Podcast, where we talk about how much we love bicycles. Dan's a crazy downhiller, and John will be walking with a cane in a few years. But nobody loves cycling more than these two. Coming to you from Virginia's Blue Ridge, let's meet the hosts, Dan Lucas and John Carlin.
Hello and welcome to the Rider Up Podcast presented by Cardinal Bicycle. I am half of the show, John Carlin.
And my name is Dan Lucas. Thanks for listening.
Dan, of course, would be the other half of the show.
The other half, I'm the other half.
Right.
The better half, you might say?
Well, I'll give you that.
Okay.
You work in the bike shop, and I'm the wannabe hack enthusiast who and I'm old and you're young and you're a downhill mountain biker.
We all gotta have our niche.
We do. And, you know, right now I'm a Greenway rider, but I'm getting back into the swing of things. So anyway, we just want to let you guys know, if you're a first time listener, that we are recording in Roanoke, Virginia, at Cardinal Bicycle, which has two locations in Roanoke.
We got Grandin and we got our Orange Avenue store, both easy driving distance for anybody in the Roanoke Valley.
Right. I've been shopping at your original store.
Yeah.
The what do you call it? The 460 store?
Orange Avenue.
Avenue. Okay. I started buying bikes there in the early 90s.
Yeah, well, I mean, open since 77. The store footprint has grown, but the location has never changed.
And
we don't have any plans to make it change.
Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
And I probably do more shopping over here where we are right now at Grandin, but I can tell you that I still have the 1995 steel Waterford road bike that I bought from that store. And obviously in 1995.
You don't want to get rid of those Waterford bikes either.
Because they're out of business now.
No more Waterfords are going to be made. I think you can get them repaired still, but they're not making new ones. So.
Well, I love that bike.
It's a beautiful bike.
And I ride it as much as I ride my Pinarello, actually.
Awesome.
So
you can't steal his reel. You can't beat it.
I just love the feel of that bike. The Pinarello actually fits me a little better. But anyway, I'm digressing. So we're at Cardinal Bicycle in the Grandin Village location. And I just want to let you know that Roanoke is still an emerging bicycle center. I don't want to call it a bicycle mecca.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
But I mean, we're aspiring to be that.
Yeah, we definitely want to be something unique and awesome in the cycling industry. And we're trying. We're just going to keep going.
We're getting there. And we're getting there in terms of greenways, in terms of road biking. I mean, with Blue Ridge Parkway comes right through our area.
World-class road biking already, for sure.
And we've got we're one of the few cities in the country, in the world, that have a mountain right in the middle of the city. Bike trails on it.
Yeah, you can get there. You can get to dirt in 10 minutes from downtown, basically. And then, spend 10, 12 miles and get back, on your lunch break.
Right.
There's nothing like it.
Or I get on my road bike and I ride up the road. I don't have to get on the dirt, although I do sometimes. And you've got a really nice uphill challenge. You can grab a lot of elevation really fast on beautiful roads.
Yep, absolutely.
So anyway, and then the other thing, we're an IMBA Silver Ride Center for mountain biking, which is huge. And we are the home to VBR Team 2024, which is the most successful women's bike racing team in American history.
Yep.
And they're based here in Roanoke.
Yep. Yep.
And they've got a really good rider named Jennifer Valente, who's already qualified for the Olympics.
It's wild that Little Roanoke can boast something like that. Some really excellent athletes on that team. Got a shout out to my favorites, Allie and Tegan Burrow.
Oh man, they're awesome.
They're fantastic. I happen to, we can talk about this later, but happen to have Allie on my downhill team this year, so I'm pretty pumped.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, they're local girls.
Local legends.
Who are just awesome cyclists. Yep. And so they've hooked on with the team that is based here.
Yep.
But I have to mention Jennifer Valente again, because I got a chance to ride with Jennifer.
Yep.
I guess it was last fall, and I did a story with her for Channel 10, where I do the news. And She's just a sweet, sweet girl who is the reigning world champion in the Omnium and Olympic gold medalist already in the Omnium. And she's won 3 Olympic medals.
Yeah, it's
wild. And she'll be representing the United States in Paris.
Yeah, it's insane. And like I said, just VBR Team 2024 is going to be on the world stage. And, you know, it's exciting for them, but it's kind of exciting for Rona because we get to call them our own.
Right. Yeah. Right. And they're out there on the and they're on all the different disciplines.
Yep.
But I know that they'll be representing us in any number of the big American road races this year. And so, you know, we'll as we continue to podcast, we'll continue to update you guys. And, you know, maybe we could get Jennifer to join us.
Yeah,
sometime.
We've had a couple Team 2024 athletes before.
Right.
We had Amanda Coker, and we had also the team founder and leader, which is Nicola Cranmer.
Right, Nicola, yes.
We both had – those are pretty early shows, so if you go back and listen to those, you know, go in with an open mind. But it was really cool to talk to both of them. Amanda still – I haven't seen Amanda in a while. She was coming in for a while and training.
Right.
Hopefully we'll see her again this summer.
But she holds the world record for most miles ridden in a year.
Yeah.
And she was averaging over 230 miles a day.
It's a bizarro world of riding that I don't know anything about. It's crazy.
I don't either. And she did it going round in circles in a park in Florida.
Yeah,
and she's like a 6-mile loop, and she just would do it all day long.
Yeah, and she's just super cool and so down to earth and really just a really cool person to talk to. Yeah. So anyway.
So you go back and listen to the back episodes.
Yeah.
Listening to her talk about, you know, like the support she got from her family.
Yeah.
And, you know, her dad shows up with a cooler of food, and then her dad would ride with her, and then people started hearing about her, and they started riding with.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah, really neat story for sure.
All right. But now you are just back from a Cardinal Bicycle sponsored.
Yeah.
Was it a week of riding? You were in Bentonville.
We're in Bentonville, Arkansas. So this is our so myself and Karen, who is marketing and events manager here at Cardinal. We hatched this plan to take folks from our area here in Roanoke to ride in a different place, Bentonville, Arkansas. And if you haven't heard of Bentonville, you may be asking why we would go there. And the short answer is it's unlike anywhere else I've ridden in the world.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I've been there a couple times, but we had a program. It's called Cardinal Experience Bentonville, and we're hoping to have some other Cardinal Experience locations that we'll roll out eventually. But this was our first crack at it. It went awesome. We had a great time. We had 9 customers join us, and, you know, varying skill levels. We had, you know, people that hadn't been riding a whole lot.
And this is mountain biking.
Yeah, biking specifically. And we've had people that have been riding a whole lot and could ride circles in distance and in elevation around me. But the great thing was that we were able to provide something for all of them, I think, that was pretty special. And so, once again, Bentonville is home to Walmart. Let's get the elephant, you know, address the elephant in the room.
Right.
It's home to Walmart, and whether you think good or ill of Walmart, they were really able to like spin the flywheel up of Bentonville. And what they did was they funneled a lot of money for a short time into the trails and the infrastructure around cycling there. So that was Greenway and Access mainly.
Right.
And they, you know, procured real estate to put these trails and things like that. Well, anyway,
I mean, they put $1 million into it just up front.
Yeah. Oh, right?
It was a foundation.
Yeah, probably millions plural ultimately.
Yeah.
But what was so cool about it is that they, like I said, they got this flywheel spun up, and then they kind of like backed off. I still think money goes in. I'm sure Walmart puts money in some capacity. But after they spun it up, all these businesses started popping up. Bike shops and bike-themed places. places that, you know, coffee shops, Airship Coffee, if you haven't heard of it, look up Airship Coffee in Bentonville. It's wild. They have a world-class coffee lab called Onyx, which is one of the bougiest coffee places I've ever been to in my life.
Really?
Incredible, as you would imagine, but super bougie, as my kids would say. Food. They have a world-class art museum, which I've been to twice, is incredible. It's Crystal Bridges. And all this like came about because of the cycling, where the money that was put in for cycling. And then now it's just its own money generator. Like they're putting in, it's something crazy. Like the realistic numbers, like 2 miles, a week are going in, like 2 miles, which is crazy.
Of trail
are going in like a week in the surrounding areas.
So these would be machine-cut trails.
Yeah, so that's one thing. Well,
but that doesn't mean they're bad.
It doesn't mean they're bad.
But you're not out there with an axe or a chainsaw yourself.
Yeah, you're not doing like...
It's not volunteers.
Yeah, no, there are. There's an insane amount of volunteers.
Okay, but there's still a lead builder.
Correct, yeah.
And there's a plan.
Yeah, they have like designed these so well, and they have a system down so well that they use their volunteers in such a good way that they are just cranking out the miles of trail. And the best way I can describe it is that like you land there, and once you get into town, you can ride to the trails from almost anywhere, like relatively quickly and easily. The infrastructure is there. The people that live there are kind of conditioned to know cyclists are going to be on the road. They watch out. They're very friendly and they wave and they, you know, help like let you go past. It's very unique and different. Now there's like goods and bads, I would say, to the whole, like this whole, you know, how fast it's come about. I think there's some things that there's going to be some gripes just about anywhere that has a place like this. But as a cyclist visiting and contributing to their marketing or their their income because we're visiting, it's a really cool experience. I've been there 3 times. I am 100% sure that I'll go back again. And it's just unique in a lot of ways.
So I got a couple of questions for you. So you land in this bicycle mecca, and you work here at the shop. You are the Cardinal World Ambassador.
That's right.
But
self-proclaimed, probably.
Either that or I titled you. But it works because that's what you do. And this bike shop has so much outreach and so many tendrils in the community. You guys concocted this plan. We're going to offer the opportunity to go to Bentonville as a Cardinal experience, and you're down there with people of all these different levels. You're basically a mountain bike downhiller by nature.
Yeah.
Right? I've ridden with you, and I can't keep up with you in any capacity. So it doesn't matter whether you're going downhill or cross country is my point. So how do you manage these people? So you got one person that doesn't know how to go over a tree root and somebody else is hawking down the downhill trails? Is it that kind of level?
Well, there are definitely different skill levels, and, we didn't get away unscathed, but we tried to, so we kind of broke up into groups, and I think going forward, we've been talking about this, and we want to make sure that everybody has the best experience possible. That was the goal, and I think generally we achieved that in every way we could. But we want to be able to offer more in the way of like skills and teaching there if we need to. I did do some skills coaching while I was down there, like pretty light level skills coaching, but we got people through the trails. I will say this about Bentonville. One of the things that if you haven't been there, it might come as a surprise, like they have the same coding, you know, green, blue, black, double black, whatever. And one thing you'll notice is that there's more blues than anything else.
Okay.
Tons of blues.
And is it a legitimate blue?
So that is the point, is that there'll be blues and you're like, this is basically a greenway. Like, I'm riding the most easy possible trail that I can imagine.
Okay.
Like, why is this a blue? Then you will get to some blues, and those blues should have been categorized as a double black because there's just a 6-foot drop, or there's this weird like wooden thing you have to ride.
Okay.
Like I would say that's my big critique and my big one of my big takeaways from a group, like running a group down there, is that, riding these trails, I believe I can get everybody through it, but, you know, people with different skill levels, we got to make sure that they're all going to be comfortable enough. And so some of these trails just, they throw surprises at you.
Yeah.
Ultimately, there is go-arounds for basically everything. So no matter what is coming up for you, they have figured out a way to get people around an obstacle if it is something that's a challenge for them.
As long as you know ahead of time.
And they do have good signage, okay, saying feature or whatever. But I wanted to quickly just say, some of the trails, if you plan on going, you don't plan on using Cardinal or anyone else, some things you gotta see is you have to start downtown in downtown Bentonville, which is a little teeny tiny downtown,
right?
And ride the beginning of Slaughter Pen, excuse me, it's Slaughter Pen Trails. It's a massive trail system that starts from the middle of downtown, but you got to start from downtown. That's like one of the cool features, is that like you can go get coffee, get something to eat, ride over to the trailhead and start from there. You get on dirt immediately and you're going. And then kind of branch out from there on Slaughter Pen. There's like four or five hubs, which would be a central meeting point at a high spot. And then there's spokes of that hub going off, which are different trails of different abilities, mm-hmm, that get down to the bottom, and then they basically lead you back up top. So recommend that. I also recommend Kohler Mountain Bike Park. Kohler is on the western side of Bentonville, and it has some really cool stuff, including Airship Coffee, which I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
They have a ride-in, ride-out-only destination of Airship. It's like a mile in. You can't get there by car. You have to ride your bike or walk in.
Oh, that is so cool.
Super, really cool, really good coffee. Get there early if you don't want to stand in line a long time. I was there, and the line was out of the building, out of the door.
And this is everybody arrived by bike.
Yeah, there are people that walk or like push, okay, a stroller or whatever, but okay, I would say it's probably 80% bike.
Okay.
There's not much bike parking. Well, there is a lot of bike parking, but there's not going to be a lot of room. It's a really neat location. And then I would say the other thing, if you're into cross country and you want like a longer ride, Back 40 trails are fantastic. They're really cool. There's a trail, super technical, called the Ledges that our crew rode, and we had mixed feelings. Some of them were like, that was super fun, and some of them were saying like, there's some consequences on that trail if you mess up. So was a neat one to experience that.
So you had, so you take nine people, and
yep,
you said you didn't come away unscathed. Somebody got hurt?
We had that. It's mountain biking, so you got to understand.
You
take that into account. Everybody's okay. Everybody's
all right,
back.
Good,
we made it back with all nine. And then I wanted to give you one more place. If you guys are, if you're looking at the thrill seekers, the people that want to do jumps and drops and want a challenge, you got to hit up Wonderland. And Wonderland is like north, it's just past the interstate if you're riding on Slaughter Pen or Razorback Greenway. And if you want some difficult riding, you got to go hit the Wonderland.
Did you do it?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I've been there a few times, yeah. And it's wild.
Big air.
There's some definite big drops, but the thing that's really cool is it kind of has these crazy cave shelfy things that you're riding into and under and out of. I'll show you a little video later.
All right. And we can link to all of this in the show notes for sure. And there's a lot of man-made features, right?
Yeah, they're everywhere. There's a trail called the Masterpiece. Once again, this is another, like, you should do it. It's very short, but it's man-made. It's all welded, like, it's like industrial steel belting. I don't know where they got it from, but they welded it all together, and it has this undulation, like rollers, and then they have these stone laid flagstone jumps. So you could ride it in any weather, and it's short, but it's really cool. And I have a video for that. I'll get you of Matt. He helped us. He was a volunteer that came and worked and helped us on this trip. And Matt works for Franklin County Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And if you know who I'm talking about, and he's one of my new he's a new bromance in my life. I gotta
got admit, it. Nice.
And he's an awesome guy. And so anyway, we had a great time. We drove all the bikes down together. We drove all the bikes back, and we did a lot of riding while we were down there. So I had a lot of fun with him, and I have a video of him doing the masterpiece. So.
Okay.
Pretty cool. Well, we'll share that as well.
Okay, but, yeah.
So anyway, a lot of Bentonville info. I'll stop talking about it.
All right, so we'll get that video. If it's not already on YouTube, I'll get it on YouTube, and we'll put a link to it so everybody can see it and know what it is we're talking about. Because if you have no interest in Bentonville, you probably may not even be listening.
You can skip ahead. Yeah. Just skip ahead to right now.
Well, I just think it's cool because, we're talking about Olympians. We're talking about, the mecca of mountain bike, at least on the East Coast.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Moab yet, but
probably not Moab yet, but they're working hard. Close, it's nice because I've ridden Moab too, and man, you're not far from anywhere. Okay. In Bentonville. It's pretty cool.
I tried very hard to convince my wife to go on that trip with us.
Yeah.
But she is a...
Hey, we're going to do it again. Don't
even worry. I don't think it's ever going to happen. She's too afraid. She's got a mountain bike. She's got a better mountain bike than me. We bought her at the shop.
That's right, yeah.
But she's just... And she's a good cyclist, good road cyclist, good gravel cyclist. But when it gets rocky and bumpy... Yeah.
I'll throw this out. We're going to do some more of these. If you are interested, just get on our social media, look. But we had a deal, and we're going to do these again, I think, where if a spouse wants to come but doesn't plan on riding and they just want the experience of being there and they want to go shopping or whatever, go to the museum and stuff, we got a rate for that too.
Okay.
So maybe next time.
All right. Or maybe you'll do if you did a gravel trip or a road trip.
Okay. You didn't hear it from me, but maybe we have some gravel trips and road trips in the planning stages at the moment. So, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, we'll talk about that here on the podcast.
Right.
Just real quickly, while we're talking about the gravel camp is back this year,
which is
a series of gravel rides.
Yep.
That the shop sponsors, and I think I did all four of them last year.
Yeah.
And those are really cool.
They're awesome. They're one of our most requested and participated in events that we do. This is something that Karen came up with. The first one is April 20th, and it's the Bedford Gravel Camp.
Right?
Bedford Gravel Camp. I'm doing
that one.
It's awesome. We work with Lee from Bedford County Parks and Rec. And if you are, if you're gravel curious, that's one of our coined terms here, or you love gravel, this is a really cool ride. There's multiple levels of, distances and stuff. And it's just a lot of fun. Meet a lot of cool people and just enjoy a really super fun gravel ride. So,
all right. So cardinalbicycle.com and then look up gravel camp. Or if you just Google gravel camp and Cardinal.
It'll probably come up.
Yep. But anyway, these are really well organized rides. There's the food, you're feeding people, you've got good support, and you don't get lost if you're in a new area and you're riding the back roads.
That's right.
So I really, really enjoyed that last year. So we got all that stuff coming up.
We do. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah, we have a whole lot of events. Look at our events page. But Bentonville was super fun. I've talked a lot about that, but I want to hear what you've been doing because we know what I've been doing, which was recovering from Bentonville at this point. But what have you been up to? It's been a few months.
Well, it has, and I will tell you that I love my Peloton bike because...
What do you ride that on?
Well, I mean, I can ride it on gravel. I can... and sometimes if I'm listening to a book on Audible or something like that, I'll just get on it and I'll hit the button that says, ride this trail in Ireland or, India or, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll just put it on the scenic ride and I'll listen to the book and I'll just pedal. But what I have found, Dan, now that the weather is starting to break and I'm getting outside again, is that I basically stopped riding hard at the end of October of 2023.
Yeah.
And so now we're into March of 2024, and I've spent the whole winter lifting some weights at the Y and riding the Y bike and riding the Peloton. And now that I'm back out there on my known courses, I have lost it all.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that I was kind of maintaining my fitness.
Yeah. So I got to agree with you. I kind of did the same thing. I was like, oh, man, it's the fall. I'm going to chill out a little bit and right. like enjoy, you know, Thanksgiving and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think I enjoyed a little bit too much. And all the folks here probably are tired of hearing me say it. I was like really worried about right. like that upcoming trip and stuff. Like I'm not going to have it. I'm going to have an e-bike or something to help me get around. Ultimately, I just put a lot. I like threw myself into riding in a short time and was able to get it back. So you can get it back.
Uh-huh. I'm at least 20 years older than you.
No way. You're going to get it back. You're going to be fine.
That's what I'm afraid of is like I've just there's a really, really great road bike ride that we do here in Roanoke. It's called Blacksburg Road.
I see it says Last Weekend Blacksburg Road on the show notes, and right. I'm wondering what it is.
Right. So it's just a great out and back. Essentially, you're riding from Catawba, which is a nice little area right along the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, beautiful.
And there's a recreation center that we park at that's old, it's got public parking, mm-hmm. and you ride out, you basically ride almost to Virginia Tech and back.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a little convenience store in an area known as Ironto.
Mm-hmm.
So you ride to the convenience store and back, and the out and back is 44 miles. But it's got about 3,000 feet of elevation gain. So, but it's rolling. There's no significant climbs. Like you don't go up any mountains, but you're always going up or downhill.
Yeah. Not a small ride though. 3,000 feet, 40 some miles.
Right. And so when I'm in shape and I'm out there with my group of like-minded cyclists, we'll average 17 miles an hour, 16 miles an hour on a road bike. That's not bad. I use that as a benchmark to tell you that when my wife and I went last weekend, it kicked my butt. Just to finish the thing, and if we're averaging like 13 miles an hour, trying as hard as we can.
Yeah,
I mean that's a lot of loss.
You know, more bodies. If there's more bodies on the road, you're like it's cutting the wind a little bit more. But
I've thought of every excuse that I can with that. It's just a matter of I've lost it. So because my birthday is the end of October.
Okay.
All right. So I like to do what they call the birthday ride. So you ride your age in miles.
Okay.
And so we went out and I rode 63 miles mm-hmm. In October. And then I pretty much hang the bike up for the winter. You know, I will ride at least 100 miles a month just because I've got this streak going, which is, you know, whatever. But that includes, you know, miles accumulated on the Peloton. But when the weather's bad, you know, and then the holidays come and it's windy or it's snowing or, you know, whatever, it's just easy to go down the stairs. So anyway, but the point is that I thought I was maintaining my fitness. And I've got to fight to get it back.
You can't let it go. You got to fight.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, but we're starting to get some daylight now. So one of the things I love to do is go out. And I think I recorded something last year just while I was riding, like my stream of consciousness. Yeah. But my dinner break is usually a 20 to 24 mile bike ride in the region. And so I will do that two or three times a week. And now that the weather's breaking and we've got the daylight, I'm enjoying that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another way you can get out and you know, I would encourage other folks that might be listening, if you're new to the area or if you just found the podcast and you live here, is like getting a good group ride going. Like there's some really good group rides. The LaRoica leaves from here on Tuesday nights, and there's multiple levels of riding there. There's like beginner level all the way up, and just be sure you get in the right group, because if you get in the wrong group, like you're gonna be gone. They're gonna drop you.
Yeah, right. So you want to get in the right group.
Right group. Yep. But we have a lot of like awesome ambassadors that'll be super helpful and make sure that you're taken care of.
that right. It's called the LaRoica ride, it's like a French word, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a Robism joint. Yeah. So if you know Rob, you'll probably be laughing to yourself right now. But this is a Robism thing that he created and we have adopted, and it's just a really cool ride. A lot of the locals do that ride. We're really proud to have it here. And then on Wednesday, we have the Mullet mountain bike ride.
right?
Business in the front.
You these leave from the Cardinal Bicycle Grandin location.
Yeah.
And Wednesday night, like at what time?
Wednesday, so we roll at 6.
Yeah.
So we kind of, usually people are gathering here 5:30 to 6 o'clock and then we roll. And that is an intermediate ride for sure. So if you are a beginner mountain biker, I can't recommend it.
Right, okay.
And mainly that is due to the fact that we're climbing Mill Mountain and the terrain is not beginner friendly, and you're gaining, you know, 800, almost 1,000 feet real quick.
Yeah. So skills and lungs and legs.
Yeah, so all of that's required, and like we don't want to turn anybody away, but we just like to put that out there so everybody knows, because we've had some people come before and been like, that was a lot harder than I thought.
And it's the mullet ride?
The mullet, yeah. So it's business in the front. You got to climb that mountain, but then it's a party in the back, so we call it the mullet.
The mullet ride, okay.
And then on
Saturday mornings?
Thursdays, we have had the Crank Sister Social, which was a ladies' ride. We've had the, I'm a bad Cardinal representative right now. I cannot remember the name of the other one that was like very beginner friendly. But we try to truly have something for everybody. And then on Saturday, we do have But First Coffee, which is leaving out of here. And then there's also David Gregg. Once again, another name in the area, Infamous, has a ride that is kind of an adventure, a mixed surface adventure ride. Started out as a gravel ride, but David's a wild man. So
could I ride that or not?
I think you could ride it. I think you need to talk to David before you go and learn the route, because it kind of changes, and it is sometimes there's hike-a bikes. I know that they've gotten wet before,
maybe more adventurous than I'm looking for.
It's adventurous
for
sometimes.
Okay, but so Saturday morning from Cardinal Bicycle, you can do some rides.
You can do some rides.
And there's a no drop ride?
Yeah, I believe the But First Coffee's no drop.
But First Coffee. And how far would that be typically?
Oh, man.
Shorter in the spring and longer as the season progresses?
Yeah, probably
progresses.
How it's going to go. And then there's some other adjacent rides that we have as well. I'll leave you all with those first. But joining a group ride, back to my original point, is joining a group ride is a great way to like learn the area, learn some cool trails and or roads, and then meet some really great people. And we're super lucky to have a really cool community that has like kind of started gathering here. And we love that is a thing that we've been able to provide. And all of these, there's no charge for any of these, obviously.
That's cool.
Like, come and just enjoy, have fun. That's all we're asking.
And you guys do have a sweet little like luncheonette here. I don't know, what do you call it? Cafe?
It's Cardinal Cafe.
But you serve food and coffee.
Yeah,
it's
coffee,
really good.
Coffee, you know, any of your espresso drinks, beer. We have stuff on tap and stuff in cans. And then we have some great food. We have really good pizza. We have some awesome rice bowls, like salmon rice bowl, chicken rice bowl, stuff like that, some salads. So if you're looking for something relatively healthy too, or just some delicious food, you know, chips and guac, we got all that stuff. So
okay, good.
Do a ride, come back, have something to eat, grab a beer. It's a good time.
Awesome. That is awesome. So, I may see. What time does But First Coffee start? You're going to look it up.
Like, I'm going to look it up.
Or like this time of year, you want to wait till it gets a little warmer in the day. So like in the summer, I want to go early before it gets hot. This time of year, if it's going to get up to 60, I don't want to start when it's 30.
Yeah, so the But First Coffee ride is 9:30 to 11:30. Ride starts 9:30, Cardinal Bicycle Grandin. You can have your breakfast and coffee at the shop first. It's no drop. Please ensure you can maintain a 15-mile-per-hour pace before joining. That is the criteria on the
website. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I would say that normally that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Going to have to get back. Not represented by my 44-mile ride last weekend.
Even,
even though I will tell you that I love that ride. It was an abnormally warm spring day.
Yeah, it's been that way.
The flowering trees were like in full splendor.
Yeah.
And there was no wind, which is unusual for area. It was just a gorgeous ride. Just that my legs felt like crap. But I've got some rides coming up this summer.
Got some plans.
I
what
do.
What you got?
So I'm going to ride across New York State.
Very cool. Is it like going? You going to go across the state into the city or something? Or
so if you look at New York State. you go west to east. You start in Buffalo.
Okay.
And you basically go due east for about, I want to say 300, 350 miles.
That's too many miles, I think.
And then when you get to Albany, you're pretty much all the way through the state, and then you can turn right or south,
okay,
as it were, and you go to New York City. So we're going to go from Buffalo to Albany, and it's an 8-day trip. So it's a ride that's put together, and you're following what was the Erie Canal the whole way.
Okay, very good.
And if people don't know anything about canals back in the day, they had these barges, and they had a rope to a team of horses or mules, and the mules walked on a path next to and pulled the barges, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's called the towpath. Well, the towpath these days is now a bike trail.
Got it.
And you can go all the way across the state.
That's pretty cool.
So what we're doing is we've signed on with, and I can't remember the name of the group, but we've signed on, and we're doing it with, my wife and I are doing it with another couple, and that you camp every night.
That's awesome.
But they bring your tent.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you're camping, but you're not totally bike packing.
Glamping.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how glamping is, because it's like a three-person tent.
Do they like make your meals and stuff though?
Meals.
I've seen some.
I think
of these
some
things.
Of the meals are provided, and some of them you get to the little town and
you gotta go. That's really cool. I love stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah. So I've never done anything like that.
Man, all right.
So I'm gonna have to. You know, that'll be my first. You know, like days of first trip I've ever taken where you're going to go out and ride 60 miles every day back to back.
That's a lot.
So. But I think it's relatively easy terrain because you're following the canal. Canals don't tend to go up and down.
Right, yeah.
But there are some places where the path deviates and you're going to do some rolling terrain.
And I hear that you are going to Alaska to ride bikes?
That is a fact, yeah. So we're doing a trip. I've done numerous trips with a company called Backroads.
Okay.
They're not a sponsor or anything. I just really like them. They do a great job. And so, yeah, we're going up and we're going to be hitting some small towns in Alaska. I think you bike X number of miles a day, 30 to 40 miles a day. Uh-huh. But then there's hiking and kayaking and wildlife and all that on top of that. So that'll be in August.
Not being from Alaska, what part of Alaska? Like, are you near the coast? Are you central?
I think we start in Anchorage.
Okay.
And then they take you. Nothing means anything to me yet.
Yeah.
This wasn't like I was looking for a specific thing. I wanted someone to tell me where I wanted to go. So let's table that for now until I've got it in front of me. And then, of course, after the trip, I'll be happy to describe everything.
I'll be doing a
YouTube video.
Okay.
But very did cool. you say
gold panning? Like
gold panning, right?
Gold big in Alaska? Don't they do a lot of gold panning and stuff?
I guess it is. And I think it was. That was a gnome originally.
Grizzlies?
Yeah. I want to see a grizzly.
Yeah,
there.
I think that'd be cool.
I want to see
I really would love to go to Alaska. That's a place that I probably not for cycling. I mean, maybe. I don't know if there's riding. But I just generally want to go there. So I'm kind of really excited to hear about
your
experience.
Yeah, it's mostly just curiosity at this point.
That's awesome.
So, so I've got to get in shape, and I'm going to ride across New York State.
And you got to go to Alaska.
And I
got to
go to
Alaska.
That's August. So I got time.
Okay.
I got
all right,
time.
Cool. But we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, before then.
Okay.
So, and as far as rides coming up for me, I've been thinking about it, and most of my rides are going to be local and then time at parks with my little downhill Grom team.
Yeah, so tell people, if they haven't been listening before, about your downhill team real quick. Because you got like high school kids.
We do.
And younger?
Middle school to high school.
But these kids can bomb it.
Yeah, so my team, it was previously RVD Gravity. We have since rebranded because our teams have come together to form one big team. So Roanoke Star Cycling is the junior team in our area. We're really proud to all have come together, multiple teams, to create this awesome community. And now we are RSC Rennick Star Cycling. So RSC Gravity is the name of our downhill team. We are the Gravity specific arm of that. And what we do is we are truly a community-based team. We have a number of sponsors, but the community has come together, and we are from Roanoke. We have a few kids from Blacksburg. We still consider that our general area, and we teach them how to ride and race in gravity situations. So,
but you guys travel. I mean,
travel a lot. Yeah. So we race in the series called the Downhill Southeast. Downhill Southeast has 5 stops this year. TTC, it's the Trials Training Center in Sequatchie, Tennessee. We had some kids go down there. I got to shout out my daughter, Izzy. She got a 3rd place.
Nice.
And then I also got to shout out Julie Black. She got a 1st place in Women's Cat 1, which is really cool.
Wow.
So we have a bunch of female riders. We're really excited that we're being able to get girls into gravity racing, because it's incredibly male dominated, and it's fine. Like, as a guy, it's not a big problem for me, but as my daughter wanted to get involved, I was like, this is an issue.
Right.
So we started talking about it. We got 6 ladies that are on the team this year out of, we have 17 kids on the roster. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And only our 3rd season as a team. And so sorry to jump back. We had TTC, then we have 4 more races. The next one is Massanutten. It is end of April, and that's kind of our home mountain, so we're pretty excited about that one.
Uh-huh.
We got 2 more stops at Snowshoe. We have a Basin race, and we have a Western Territory race,
uh-huh,
which is exciting, and then we have a Wind Rock race. So all of those are kind of are the ones that we mainly focus on, but I do also want to shout out 3 riders that are down at the Tennessee Nationals this weekend. So we have Mr. Jack Linder King. He is a Cat 1 racer for us, and we're super proud to have him as part of our team. Last year, he competed and did an incredible job. I think won the overall in his age group in Cat 2, 3, and then moved up to Cat 1, which is it's basically just below pro. Once he kind of has some time in Cat 1, he can move up to pro. And then we have Rowan Clark, also Cat 1 racer. He's down there representing us. And then Sardine, if you guys know. That's not his real first name, but we call everybody that affectionately calls
Sardine.
Sardine. Sardine is down there and it representing us as well. So those 3 kids are racing, and we're really proud that they decided to go down to the national race and try to, yeah, you know.
So these guys are aspiring, like, Red Bull Rampage.
Yeah, I don't
guys.
Know. Like, it's funny. Like, I started this team, and I felt like I could hang with all of them, or maybe I was faster than these kids, and they have all, like, really put me in my place. And, you know, riding with them now and seeing how they've been able to progress, I've given them all that I can give them as far as, like, those skills. Now it's just down to the coaching, and we're also lucky to have some incredible coaches that spend a lot of time with them every single week and really try to give them what they need to perform. And so, yeah, it's super cool. I'm really, really proud to be part of that team, proud to have been, you know, there from the beginning. So, and these kids are particularly awesome. So
awesome.
Yeah, if anybody wants to, if you're interested, you have a young shredder, our season has already begun, but if you want to get in contact for next season, you can definitely do that, or if you just want to come see what it's all about, it's kind of a wild sport to watch.
So do you have good video of these guys, because it's hard because they're going all the way down a mountain?
Yeah,
so
I probably have some video. But the best thing to do is look up Downhill Southeast Race Recap on YouTube, and you'll get to see the tracks that the kids run down. They're pretty wild.
So these guys aren't wearing GoPros while they go down the...
Some of them do. I don't really have access. They use the video typically to memorize the track.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
But yeah.
And sometimes, like, a point of view camera isn't the best thing.
Lot, yeah.
You want to be like, you want to see the view from what a spectator would see.
Yeah, you want a third person camera angle.
Right.
But coming to the races is a little bit boring, because, like, you see them for about 5 to 8 seconds, yeah, maybe if you're lucky,
right,
and then they're gone, they're out.
Right.
So watching that race recap is the best way to see the tracks these kids are actually racing, and you'll probably, your mouth will fall open if you haven't watched downhill before. It's really impressive. So yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so I've got a question for you.
Hit me.
And you and I are both in the world of cycling.
Yeah.
But you are like a downhill mountain biker, and I'm a roadie slash gravel guy, even though I have a mountain bike, and I ride very gentle cross country.
Okay.
You know, I can ride intermediate trips. Yeah. But you're at one level, I'm at another level. We come at bicycling differently. You work in a bike shop, and I'm just an enthusiast.
Yeah.
Right? So the question is who is and who isn't a cyclist?
Hmm.
When do you get the right to call yourself a cyclist?
When you get your badge.
So here's what comes up. You're in conversation at a party, and it's not a group of people that are, you know,
all cyclists.
All yeah. cyclists, right? Like some people have a bike.
Yeah.
In their garage.
Okay.
And they might say, "Oh yeah, I'm a cyclist. You know, I rode 6 miles on the Greenway to get coffee yesterday."
Mm-hmm.
And they might ride once or twice a summer.
Okay.
You know, or they might rent a beach cruiser when they're at the beach.
Yeah.
And so how do you determine how much riding you have to do, or how important mm-hmm. riding is in your life before you can point at yourself and say, "I'm a cyclist"?
Mm. Man, that's tough. So, all right.
Uh-huh, I gotcha.
You do.
You don't want to insult anybody.
I don't, but I'm thinking about we have a goal, like we have a statement that we use here, and it's make cycling awesome for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Right.
Particular, like two words, not one word, through exceptional service and experiences. That's like the thing that we like to use as a goal here at the shop.
Yeah, but that's bike shop brand.
But listen, come on. For real, it is and it isn't. When I think about that, I'm like, who is a cyclist? Like, I want everybody to be a cyclist. And I don't know when you get your badge. Gosh, that's a tough question. I'm rubbing my face right now.
You can't see me. Yeah.
Man, I think that if I have to qualify somebody, it's having a bike that is in rideable condition. So that would be like, you know, keeping your bike in rideable condition would probably be part of the equation. So like making sure the tires are aired up, and like, I'm not saying like having it tip top shape all the time, but
you gotta ride.
You gotta keep it in a acceptable position to ride.
Uh huh.
And then it would need to be used on a, like, it would need to be a regular basis, not even semi regular. And I think you could call yourself a cyclist.
Okay. So this is how this question came up. All right, for me, because you know
I'll listen to this, but then I want to hear your qualifications.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm a TV news reporter. And every once in a while, of course, and I'm like one of the few people in the newsroom that rides a bike regularly.
Yeah.
All right. So some sort of story will come up about somebody was riding their bike. And it doesn't matter why it comes into the conversation, but here's a group of people that's like the general population.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'll say, well, are they a cyclist like me, you know? Or are they a casual cyclist?
Yeah.
You know, and everybody looks at me like, "Oh, a cyclist like you?"
Like,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, and then I walk into this bike shop where we have like Abby Snyder works here, who rides World Cup,
yeah,
and you who coach a downhill team.
Yeah.
You know, and even though I ride a lot and I've got multiple bikes in multiple categories, and my vacations revolve around cycling. So, you're a big cyclist, you know. So it's like, okay, well, how far do you have to go one direction or the other before you can say you are describe yourself as a cyclist.
You are or are not.
Right.
Got it.
So I feel like you're a cyclist. It's pretty easy to say. I mean, you just came back from Bentonville and
you're a coach.
You coach people. You work in a bike shop. You're a bike ambassador. You're a cyclist.
Yeah.
All right. I am much less than you in terms of my world revolving around cycling. But every free moment I have, I want to be riding
my bike. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. But then you got somebody who's like you said, has got a bike in their garage.
Yeah.
They might have air on the tires.
Yeah.
They might get on the greenway and go for ice cream. And they're riding, you know, 6 miles.
Yeah.
8 miles.
Are you doing it every week?
Once or twice or three times a summer.
Are you going to Blue Cow every week?
I mean, so while they're on their bike, they're a cyclist.
Yeah.
Let's go back to TV news.
Okay.
Let's say a car, they have an altercation with a car and it rises to a car.
They're definitely a cyclist.
A car hit a cyclist near the greenway in Roanoke. That's how we would report it.
Right.
But that person walking into a party, do they identify as a cyclist?
Right.
If they try to identify as a cyclist, are they posing?
This is getting deep and existential.
Right? Right? I just wish I knew.
Man, that's a... it's tough. Like, I feel like I can feel myself, actively going between... visualizing folks, like, not anybody in particular, but, like... thinking about certain groups and being like, yes or no, yes or no. And like, but, you know, I want to automatically include people to make them feel welcome.
Sure.
But then at the same time, you're like, but like, how into this are you? Like, this is a tough question.
That's why I love it.
Yeah, it is a great question. I want to think about this and come back with a real answer next time.
Oh, okay.
Because that's a tough one to answer on air. I gave a little bit.
Well, and you're putting on your public relations hat too, because people walk into the bike shop with all levels of bikes and they want you to fix them.
Yeah.
Right, because the weather got warm and they want to ride, and we live in Grandin. You're in Grandin Village over here, and so this is a place where you can kind of do that, ride your single speed cruiser, and go for coffee, and I love that experience.
Yeah,
right.
I guess the thing that's hanging me up is that cyclists sometimes, and I'm talking to all of you listening, have the like a cliquish vibe to them, and like they may mean it and they may not mean it, but cyclists do get that like connotation sometimes, right?
They do.
And this makes me feel like if I say you gotta ride your bike X amount of times and whatever, that gives that vibe. So I don't like that aspect, but at the same time I'm like, yeah, but you gotta work for it if you want it. Like, you gotta
if you want to wear that badge
in it, if you want the badge,
if
you want to be in the club, you gotta put some time into it,
right?
So that's why this is such a I would also love to hear what the folks listening have to say about it.
That's right.
Like, so riderupppod@gmail.com. I still check it.
Do you? Okay.
I do.
Good.
I have it hooked up to my phone. I would love to hear what folks, and you can be anonymous if you want, you just tell me. I would love to hear what folks have to say about this question. So ask the question again. What is it?
Okay, who is a cyclist and who is not a cyclist?
Who is and isn't a cyclist?
Right. And how much do you have to ride or think about riding to consider yourself legitimately to be a cyclist?
Okay. Good. It's a good discussion.
Do you have to have a Strava account? If you want to have a Strava, do you know what Strava is?
You don't
is?
Have to have Strava account.
You don't have to have a Strava account.
I'm firmly on the side of you do not have to have a Strava
account. Yeah, I agree with you.
We've talked about
it
before.
I agree with you. Right.
But I would love for any listeners to weigh in that have the time and want to spend a few minutes putting your thoughts down. Please do. We would appreciate it.
All right. So, tool time.
Tool time. Put insert jingle. All right. I have a couple tools here. I have borrowed both of these tools. I don't personally own them
Okay.
Myself, but they're very cool. And I'm going to start with this one here.
And we're going to put a picture of these with the show notes.
Yeah. So what I have here is a bottle opener, but it's not just any bottle opener.
It looks like a bottle opener.
It is a bottle opener.
With a fancy red handle.
It is made by Wera Tools. Okay. I've had some Wera Tools on here before. They are some of the finest cycling specific tools that you can buy. So if you are curious, you're building your own tool collection, Wera makes some awesome stuff. But the reason this bottle opener is awesome is that it uses the Wera screwdriver handle, and this was part of the advent calendar. So they do...
All right, better just time. Took your picture. I'm rolling video right
perfect.
Now.
So they do an advent calendar every year, and this is like the big tool. This is Billy's personal little bottle opener. Now, you can open a beer or you can open some Coke with this. It doesn't matter. It works on all bottles equally, a root beer maybe. But it's a very cool tool, and beverages are part of the cycling the cycling community. So whether, like I said, you enjoy a beer or a root beer or a ice cold Coca-Cola after your ride, this is something that you got to have in your garage. Like I recommend, you know, cans are fine, but there's something about drinking out of a glass bottle.
So you're not going to be able to like pull that bottle opener out of the red handle and it's a Allen wrench or anything like that.
I don't think so. No. I probably can't get it out of there.
Okay. So that is just a straight up bottle opener.
I wanted to give you something fun for the start of the year, the straight up bottle opener, but it's like the hand feel. It's like a nice handle. It has the Wera, you know, the logo on it. They make the best stuff. So love this as a tool, but I'm going to show you another tool right now. This is a serious one though.
Okay.
And what this is this purple tool. And this is a B-gap measurement device for SRAM 12-speed. Now, it's a little specific, but I love getting specific for tools.
I don't even know what a B-gap is.
So your B-gap is, you set your B-gap on your derailleur, your rear derailleur, and it is the distance between the cog and the jockey wheel of your derailleur. If you don't know, like, go look those terms up.
Sure.
What that does is it sets the correct spacing for a full suspension bike so that when you're shifting a SRAM 12-speed drivetrain, it shifts cleanly. So you have to do that when you have a SRAM 12-speed drivetrain. So this is a very specific tool. It's brand specific. But the reason that it's cool is that they send you a cheap plastic one whenever you purchase a derailleur. This one is made by Burns Manufacturing. They have a really cool Instagram channel. They're made in the US here. And they make a just beautiful machined aluminum tool.
So yeah, that's CNC. Yeah, and purple anodized.
You can see like on the back, it has Axis Mountain. It has mechanical one by, and it has Axis Road. And so it gives you the measurements that you can use on the front side to make sure that you're setting the B gap correctly on any or all of the the drivetrains that you're using with SRAM. So this one's owned by Kyle here at the shop. If you've had your bike worked on by Kyle, you know that he does not play, that he is one of the most detailed mechanics I've ever worked with in my entire life. He doesn't miss a thing. Doesn't
All right.
miss a single
so,
thing.
So but so, this is not something that your average garage
this
guy
is,
this
average
is when your
garage
when your bike
guy,
needs to go to the shop.
Yeah, average garage guy doesn't have this. Mostly professionals are going to have something like this. But I wanted to show you that like this is the links that we go to make sure that the precision is met whenever we're working on something. And Kyle bought this with his own money, and he brings it in here because it is the right tool for the right job. And I just think it's really cool. So I got to shout out Billy and Kyle for letting me borrow their tools today, so that you can see. But you know, if you do all your own stunts at home, it might be worth. And you're a SRAM guy, this might be worth you spending the money on.
What is that cost?
This guy is like $65
wow.
retail.
Wow.
But it is, you buy it once, right? So,
sure.
In theory, 12 speed is not going to change much. There's been changes, but the general setup is the same. So, like I said, this is ultra small batch. I think they made 60 units or 50 units the first time, but a very cool tool for sure.
Okay, so I'm just going to stick with the bottle opener for my garage.
Yeah, yeah. Bottle opener for John.
Bottle opener.
You too. Everybody knows how to use one of these, I hope.
Awesome. All right, Dan. Well, once again, you have You have educated us on the latest tool. Dan is not only a skills instructor, but he's also certified mechanic. And I don't have this in the show notes to talk about, but e-bikes are still the big emerging thing, and you've been going to school to learn how to service e-bikes.
Yeah, got my master certification through Specialized Turbo Systems. I've been to Bosch training. We have Fazua, who is a Santa Cruz's brand. I'm going to try to get trained in that. And it's only going to be more prevalent in cycling. So we want to be the best. So myself and Zach both are kind of like the e-bike gurus. We try to be here anyway. So
yeah, I liked riding that e-bike last year.
That's
with
right.
You.
We
did a story for John Carlin's Outdoors on WSLS and WSLS.com. Throw in a little pitch there, and we can put a link in the show notes. But you took me for an e-bike ride.
Yeah.
But now, speaking of non-e-bikes, and as we start to wrap up, Specialized just this past week has unveiled its new Epic.
Not one bikes, but technically two.
Two.
They released the Epic 8, the eighth iteration of the Epic.
Yeah.
And then they released the Epic Evo. Now, they're super cool. So for the tech discussion, so everybody knows, obviously we're a Specialized shop, so we're kind of fond of those bikes.
Sure.
But the Epic is really cool. Very awesome bike. It, from the beginning, when they started that bike, it has been a race bike. That's what they use it for. And now there's three flavors. There's your Epic World Cup race weapon. That's like what it's for. It's to go fast on cross-country
racing. On cross-country. Okay.
Cross-country racing.
Okay. And the geometry and the travel and all that is all about racing.
It's snappy, it's nimble, it's designed to go really fast, low travel. I think it's like 75 millimeters in back. So it's like, that's not a lot of travel.
No, but it's faster because of
but
that.
But it's fast. And then we have the Epic 8, it's brand new. Epic 8 is a 120 millimeter bike, front and rear. And it is kind of, it sits outside of that. So you could certainly use it to cross country race. I would say it would be a good race choice for this area because we have some good elevation, some steep spots.
Right.
The geometry has been tweaked a lot, and it has some really like awesome features. And then there's the new Epic Evo, which increases its travel even more, 130 front, 120 rear. And it is kind of almost sitting in that downcountry. Some people may be cringing when I say that word, but we're here. That's what it's called. That downcountry or trail category.
Right.
The geometry has been massaged there too. And so it's like 64 and a half degree head tube angle, which I've owned free ride bikes with steeper head tube angles than that. So
okay. This
bike is pretty slack and it's designed to be able to kind of do a little bit of everything. It really is a jack of all trades. Really awesome bike. So if you have questions about it, if you want to see it, obviously you can look online and see 1,000 pictures. But
well, one of the things, so you've got one out here in the shop.
Yeah.
And you were just kind of, we walked by it and you were showing it to me. That was the Epic 8.
Eight, yeah.
And one of the cool things I like is you can lock out the front fork with what used to be like a grip shift option, right?
Yeah.
So it's right there on the shifter.
Because
I had that on my old Cannondale.
Yep.
And you couldn't, I was able to lock out the front fork from the handlebar, but sometimes if I realized I needed to do that, it was already bumpy and I couldn't hit the button, but now it's built right there.
Into the
shift. Sounds like a simple thing, but to a layperson like me, who's still a cyclist,
you are a cyclist.
But I like that option.
Yeah, it's cool. It is just like a grip, it's a grip shifter. It just is shifting the suspension into a different mode. And the cool thing about the Epic is that system comes standard on all of the models of the Epic 8, which is the more down country or cross country version. Sorry.
Right.
And so, like from the bottom tier all the way up, you get that, and it's a three position adjuster, so you can just do it on the fly whenever you want.
But that's only your front suspension.
No, it's front and rear.
Front and rear.
Front and rear both. Yeah. So you get both. So when you want it to be super firm, so you're grinding up a gravel road or whatnot, you can snap it to that setting, and it's going to be really firm. Not quite hardtail, but definitely firm. There's a setting they call Magic Middle. They say 80% of your time you're going to spend it in Magic Middle.
That's right. So my tall boy, I have to physically reach down on the front fork and my rear fork and flip it. Right.
And then they have the full open. So like you get to the top of Carvin's Cove and you're going to go down Buck or Gauntlet or whatever you want to happen with in that soft setting.
Cushy.
So yep. The cushy setting.
So you think that this bike is actually, you know, every year the bike companies want to make us buy the newest, latest thing. Yeah. But you think this one actually does change the game a little bit.
It's an evolution for sure.
A noticeable evolution.
Yeah, I think it is. It's hard to say. I'm going to be straight up honest with everybody. I haven't ridden it long enough to like give you a great review. I have ridden the prior Epic Evo, and that bike was incredible.
Okay.
It really was. Coming from a downhill guy, I raced a cross country race, which is pretty funny, but I raced it was a Wednesday night disco race on this bike.
Okay.
And I was shocked at how well it descended. So if they even make some marginal gains on what it already did, then it's something pretty special, I guess, is where I'm coming from with this bike.
Awesome.
So yeah, that's the kind of the new hot tech right now. Pretty cool.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we can do a test ride on that or something.
Yeah, like that. We can figure something out.
Put it on the Biking for Boomers YouTube channel.
See what we can do.
So that is my official YouTube channel, Biking for Boomers. And I haven't uploaded in a while, honestly, because you don't want to show me riding the Peloton.
Well, don't worry. You're going to be riding to New York, and you're going to be riding in Alaska, so you'll have plenty of content.
Right. So I'm a boomer. You're not. But what are you?
Getting there. I don't know.
You're a millennial?
I'm millennial. I'm not technically Gen Z. Not Gen Z. I'm not technically Gen X.
Okay.
I think I landed like a year or so outside of Gen X, which hurts me a little bit. But, I'm going to embrace it. I'm a millennial.
There you go. You are what you are. You are a cyclist.
That's right.
All right. So anyway, we want you to check out the Biking for Boomers YouTube channel. There will be a link in the show notes. And as Dan was explaining his very technical and very untechnical tools today, I'll just upload that as well. So you can check that out if you want to really look. Because this purple thing is cool looking.
It's cool.
I wish I had one. I have absolutely no need for it.
I'll show you what it does later.
it's just kind of interesting to think that kind of tool.
Yeah.
Exists.
Yep.
All right. So that's all for this version of the Rider Up podcast presented by Cardinal Bicycle. Thank you for joining us.
Everybody have a great day.